We know what needs to be done.
The solution is on the table, but they are no prepared to come to the table.
Well, it's time we let dolphins rule the world.
Well, we had a solution, but they shut the bugger down.
I find his remarks deeply offensive. Yeah.
We should all sit down together and have a nice cup of tea.
I give the youngsters solutions, and they do not listen.
We know what needs to be done.
Well, the solution is to play Dean Saunders up front.
And now it's time for the Mark Steele solution.
Good evening and welcome to the Mark Steele Solution, the programme where each week I come up with a radical solution to change all of our lives for the better. And tonight's proposal concerns housing. Because if where you live gets you down, then your whole life is just a misery. Even little things become a nightmare. For instance, I used to live in a council flat which was falling to bits and it was full of damp. But the thing that really got to me was the bloke at number 8 who had 4 dogs. And he'd get down to the flat where I was living on the ground floor, and I could hear him going, "Oh, I'll tell you what, Tyson, Frazier, Eubank, Rocky, I'm knackered, mate, you better go here." And all these... all these dogs are just going... And the thing that was just extraordinary was you'd say to him things like, what's happening, mate? This is terrible. And he'd just go, "Well, they're dogs, aren't they? I've got to go somewhere. It's nature, isn't it? No, I'm not going to do about that." And I always used to think, "God, I wish I had the money to buy a herd of buffaloes and get them to run right through his flat." And then if he complains, "So, but they're buffaloes. They've got to stampede somewhere, mate. It's nature." The thing is, when I was living in this flat, somebody actually said to me once, "Oh, you live in a council flat, do you? That's trendy." As if there was, like, all these millions of people in council flats all over Britain and we all meet up once a week somewhere at a cocktail party. All stand around saying things like, "Oh, hasn't the piss in the lifts been artistic of late?" And so that is why tonight's proposal is... that everybody in Britain should be rehoused at random. So in other words, once a year, every address in Britain is put into a huge hat and whichever one you pull out, that is where you and your family live for the year. Now, some people might think that this is unfair, but how fair is it at the moment when people can end up spending their whole lives living somewhere like this?
It's 5 a.m. on the fourth floor of the Stockham Park estate, and the Clark family are still trying to get to sleep.
More cocoa, dear.
Yeah, thanks, love.
Mind that, burglar coming through!
No, dear, it's Wednesday. You're supposed to be next door. You burgle us on a Friday.
Sorry, I'm on a mistake.
As the hours pass, they remember that tonight is the night that the Rottweiler from number 37 is completing his sponsored Barkathon. The Clarks admit defeat and get up for breakfast. Mrs. Clark finally dozes off in an armchair when suddenly...
Yeah?
Oh, good afternoon. Sorry to trouble you. I'm going door-to-door around the area and I just wondered if I could by any chance interest you in some crack.
No, thank you.
Well, if you do change your mind, we've got a special offer on till the end of the month. Can I leave you a leaflet?
But the local crack dealer is not the only visitor that afternoon.
Oh, I love council. Can't sweep the chimney.
No chimneys here, we're guests.
Oh, right, well, that's what it says in the docket. Look, occupant rang neighbourhood office urgently requesting chimney sweep, 9th of April, 1951.
In desperation, Mrs. Clark persuades the council workman to come in and assess the damp.
No, you've got a bit of condensation here, love, that's what I... You've been boiling a kettle in here, have you?
Well, it's the kitchen. It's even worse in the bedroom.
It's Duncan Goodhue. Goodhue for Britain. Just look at him go. And no wonder, because 0.2 of a second behind is the Rottweiler from number 37.
Another trick that the council does is to build the flats with quarter of an inch thick walls so that you can hear everything that goes on in all the other flats. So you might meet someone up the shop who lives 11 doors away and they say, "You've been sneezing a lot this morning." But of course it isn't just council housing. If you rent a private place, you have to spend months looking through the local papers and going round these places that are down an alley and past a welding shop and up the back of a metal staircase, and you think, I couldn't live here. Every 10 minutes the Sweeney would be arriving going, boof, this one's going to be a Bastard George! And then you move in and you find that nothing works. So you ring the landlord every day for a month until...
Come to fix your electrics.
Oh, great. Are you from the LEB?
No, I'm the landlord's brother. I'll do a lot of stuff for him.
Yeah, well, it's his fire.
Something wrong with it?
It's going to kill us. We need a new one.
Right, turn it on then. I'm going to put it in the bath. Give it a clean.
Wait a minute. Do you know what you're doing?
Not really. I sell tropical fish for a living myself. You need a Japanese mizuki fish at all?
And the rent on these places is so much that the only way you can afford them is to share them with a flatmate. And that means arguments with flatmates. So every night you come in from the pub and it's like this petty version of the Three Bears, with everyone going, and who's been nibbling my cheek? Nobody dares buy anything like margarine because then somebody else in the flat might use it. So every time someone makes a sandwich, they just get the empty carton and scrape all the plastic out going, nobody wants to clean up in case they do half a minute more than anybody else. And so you reach an agreement. We'll all do the same amount, nothing. Now, under the present system, with people not being rehoused at random, the only way out of council housing or shady landlords is to swap the misery of an awful house for a mortgage. But if we pay for anything else the way we have to pay for houses, nobody would buy anything.
Bag of potatoes, please.
Okay, if you'd just like to take a seat. Now, how much do you earn?
15,000.
Right, and how much was the bag you had your eye on?
Oh, £1.40 bag, please.
Right, lovely. Right, let's see. Right, you'll be paying 45 pence a year for the next 25 years. Unless, of course, vegetable rates go up, in which case you pay us 60 pence a year, and in 5 years' time you owe us 2 bags of potatoes. You will be required to take a medical. If you fall behind on the repayments, we can come round and repossess your potatoes, and you'll be required to pay off the balance in cauliflowers. You will need saucepan insurance, which I can arrange. Oh, and by the way, if you sign up before the 29th, you can get a free match in Barrow and Barrow Top. Okay?
And then you come out going, yes, they've agreed! See, now, anybody who's got a granny will have heard the stories about how in the 30s the rent man used to come round, and everybody would just crawl behind the settee, and after a few minutes someone would sneak out and look out the window and go, it's all right, it's gone, it's all right. And that was it. That's all you had to do to live somewhere. But with a mortgage, a war starts in some bit of the world that you've never heard of, so the Germans put their interest rates up, the British put theirs up, the building societies put theirs up, and all of a sudden you've got to give them another 50 quid a month and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't ring up the Bundesbank and go, I'm not in, mate, I'm not paying. But now there is, of course, another problem with housing as it stands, which is that unless you've got acres of land, you've got a very good chance of having neighbours that you can't stand. Now, the bloke who used to live upstairs from me was the incredible drilling man. Just used to drill all day long. Morning, noon and night. Just couldn't help it. Another inch and I'll be through to the brick. Then I can use the masonry bit. Oh, here we go. And yet the genius with these people who drill all the time is timing. Perfect timing for maximum possible effect. They know exactly when to do it to cause the most misery. They go, right. What's tomorrow? Sunday tomorrow, isn't it? Right. Set the alarm. 5 to 7. Ding! Oh. Up nice and early for a good day's drilling. Should get that whole patch behind the kettle done today with a bit of luck. And I'm in the flat downstairs going, oh, Christ, he's started already. I'm not going to go up and complain this early in the morning. He'll stop. I'm going to have to go up and complain at 5 to 7. And I just get to the door and that's when it'll go. He's changing the bit, isn't he? La, 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 maybe I'll give him the benefit of the day. He's probably just got up for one quick hole in the night. And he'll be upstairs going, right, he'll just be back in the bed now, have his head on the pillow, three to get to sleep, one to three. Now, there is one other problem here with not rehousing people at random, and that is that people generally spend their whole lives, as it is, living with the same sort of people. So you end up getting villages where people are like this.
Seen anywhere today, Tom?
No, I ain't.
I tell you what, you don't want to go up to Didlington.
No! It's a rat race up there.
They've got a shop and a phone box. All sorts.
You know what happens if you go up to Didlington, eh? What happened to Tom and Betty's girl? Went up there, bought herself a pair of jeans.
It's a rum old do. Another week up there and she'd have started wearing them.
Well, I knew her mother was a wrong'un when Tom first married her. Blow me down if 8 years later she's doing the ironing. Misses out a pillowcase. Tom was so ashamed he buried it in the garden.
If you live in a small town, like where I grew up in Swanley, it's much the same. You grow up hating anybody who's from the next town up the road. Which is so silly, you could have this huge map of the world, and there'd be Swanley here, and the next town, Dartford, would be there. But we still all go round going, Oi, Dartford boys, you live 3 miles away from us, you twats! And you get to 18, and all you want to do is go down the pub, every single night. And what you mustn't do is to miss a night, because then they all talk about you. Where's he gone tonight then? Where? He's gone down with his bird, hasn't he? He don't come down here no more, does he? No, no, on a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, dinner time and Sunday night. Yeah, she's got him right under the thumb, she hasn't she? And, of course, the other thing about the present system of housing is that there are thousands of houses without any people in and thousands of people without any houses. And yet you still get people who say that people begging on the streets are living like this.
Spare some change, please.
Any spare coppers, Governor?
When do we knock off?
About 5 minutes.
How much you got in your cup?
35,000 quid.
You're still living in the south of France?
Yeah.
Oh, bugger, it's my mobile phone.
Are you going to answer it?
No, I'll get my secretary. Celia?
Yes, Mr. Johnson. Hello, Johnson & Johnson Beggars and Vagrants. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson's begging at the moment.
And so under the present system, if you're poor, you're stuck with a crumbling council house or a rented flat or you're burdened with a mortgage. If you've got terrible neighbours, you're stuck with them forever. If you live in a village or a small town, you only ever meet people like yourself, and thousands of people have got nowhere to live at all. So the only question is, what do we put in its place? Well, before we hear the Mark Steele solution, let's find out what the ordinary man in the cul-de-sac thinks. Live from number 9, Begonia Close, it's Mr. Cul-de-sac.
This is the sound, this is the sound of the suburbs.
Houses? Don't talk to me about houses. There was a bloke round here said he was getting a job as a builder. I said, no, you're not. You know where that's going to end up, don't you? You'll be traipsing in and out of the living room, pouring rubble in the bath. That's where. Exposing the top half of your buttocks to the neighbourhood, devaluing the property. Whistling at the cat, shouting, show us your paws. I said, I'm not having it. They were going to have an housewarming party next door. I said, what do you want to do that for? You don't see me making a performance every time I turn the radiator on. You shouldn't be allowed to have parties. Next thing I know, sure enough, a balloon's floated over. Knocked a petal off one of me dahlias. I've a good mind to go round there with Kim Jong-il and the North Korean army, drop an atom bomb on their twiglets. See how they like it. Oh, difference then. I met a bloke in the pub the other day. He told me to put me money in bricks and mortar. I said, that's all very well for you. How am I going to get it out once it's set? It's an outrage. I was walking past somebody's house. I said, how much water are you putting on that lawn? Right in the middle of an hose pipe ban and all. I gave his address to the council. They said, but it's a houseboat, Mr. Cul-de-sac. And how much money do they spend putting up all that scaffolding on council estates? If they want to get in and out, why can't they use the stairs like everybody else? It's a waste of ratepayers' money. They could have used that scaffolding hanging people. I visited a house the other day, lying around on the floor. They were stuffing their faces. I rang up the owner. I said, how much rent are you charging them? He said, but they're lions, Mr. Cul-de-sac. I said, well, no wonder the zoo's going bankrupt when you're chucking them a free zebra every half an hour. It's an outrage. I've been writing some letters to the housing people. Here they are. Dear housing people, last year I bought a house. Turned out it was second hand. I want me money back. Here's another one. Dear housing people, yesterday I went to the Ideal Home exhibition. Ideal, who wants to live in a dirty great warehouse in Earl's Court with people wandering around opening their cupboards? Here's another one. Dear housing people, why? Oh, that's as far as I've got with that one, but it's coming on, don't you think?
This is the sound, this is the sound.
Thank you, Mr. Cul-de-sac. But now, what other alternatives are there? Well, one answer to housing problems is simply to build more houses, like they did with all these new towns in the 50s and the 60s. But has this really solved anything?
Come to Gleaming Telbury, jewel of the Shropshire and Hereford Borders District, where you can realise the sparkling dream of owning your very own home, tailor-made to your own individual requirements.
Darling, I'm home!
Who are you?
Sorry, wrong house again. Mine must be next door.
I think I'm next door.
No, this is my house, surely. It's got crazy paving, a French porch and bubbles in the glass on the front door.
Well, so's mine.
And mine.
And every other house in Telbury.
Oh, is this Telbury? Oh, I thought it was Milton Keynes.
Telbury, where the future is positively flickering.
Now, another alternative used to be squatting. I remember, right, when in the 70s, this was the big fear, that somebody would squat your house. And people honestly used to think that the way that squatting worked was that you'd go away for the weekend, and then you'd come back, and there'd be a family of druids living in your living room. And they'd all be going, you can't kick us out, man, it's the law. And you've got to cook me dinner, man, or the police will arrest you. And I remember this, because people used to talk about squatters as if they were ants. They go, you've got to be careful, because they're crafty at getting in, you know. They creep in through the cracks in the skirting. I mean, you can put powder down to stop them, but they walk straight over it. I honestly remember me mum saying things like, apparently, there's some people in Sidcup, went to put the cat out, came back, who was in the living room? Who was in the living room? That's right, Jimi Hendrix playing all along the watchtower. Now, of course, what squatters really did was they moved into properties that the council had condemned and tried to do them up. The problem is that nowadays that's impossible because the council demands the right to let them go to ruin. So clearly the answer is to put every address in Britain into a hat and let people pull out their house for the next year. Just think of all the advantages. For a start, our system would be fairer. If you're poor, the chances are that wherever you rehouse will be better. If you're in an average sort of house, you might be better off or you might be worse. But even if you did get a worse house, it would only last for 12 months. If you're rich, you probably will get somewhere that's worse. But you've still got your money, so that you can do the place up. So say you picked out a flat on the fourth floor of Stockham Park Estate.
OK, here we are, darling.
Great.
A little damp. Dry rot, death watch beetle, no ceiling in the kitchen, but, hey, listen, it's got bags of potential.
Yeah, look, and the piss in the lift was, like, really artistic.
Yeah. Ah, here's our builder.
Oh, sorry, I'm late. I was tidying up big vicarage. Oh, you've gone down in a world.
Okay, we want this kitchen stripped back, the living room redone around the theme of Mexican brothel, and the lift converted into a mobility utility room.
So after a few years, every address in the country would be a palace. And rented accommodation would be much better too, because dodgy landlords would find themselves with a different sort of tenant.
Yes?
Come to fix your electric.
Ah, good. Come in. I trust you are approved by the National Inspection Council for Electrical Installation Contracting.
No, I'm the landlord's brother. I'll do a lot of stuff for him.
And as a lawyer, I'm afraid I shall have to advise you that is illegal under the provisions of the 1963 Housing Repairs / Landlord's Brother Act. Well, what have you got to say for yourself?
I don't suppose you want a Japanese Mizuki fish.
So anyone has a chance to live anywhere. For instance, even 10 Downing Street could end up being occupied by just a pathetic little nobody. And under our scheme, if you did end up with flatmates or neighbours that drove you up the wall, at least it would only last a year. At last. I'm away from the incredible drilling man. I pity the poor bugger that's got to put up with him for a year, eh? Lovely. Change is as good as a rest. And there's another thing. People wouldn't be so possessive about their houses. You know, like at the moment, somebody buys a house and it's a nightmare. You go round there and they're going, oh, come in, let me show you round. This is the bit where we do the cooking and we're going to call this bit the kitchen. And I just go, oh, yeah, it's got a bedroom, it's got a car, it's an house, you ain't been done, yeah. And then they'd take you into these rooms. We're going to put a single socket there and a double socket there and a single socket there and a double socket there and a single socket there and a double socket there and a single socket there. And I just go into this blank trance that I remember from when I was on school trips and I was listening to a teacher that took you around some dreadful boring museum. And I just expect these people with the house to be going. And of course the microwave is of course the very same one which Anne Boleyn used to bake a pie on the morning. In fact, well, this is another bonus of our scheme, because tours around places like stately homes will be much more interesting. So at the moment, there's nothing to look at in these places, apart from some painting of an old duke with a beagle. I remember when I was stuck for a day in the Black Country, for example, and I thought, oh, well, I'll go round this stately home thing, and it was attached to this place, the Black Country Museum, and it was pretty dull, but then it's made even worse by these tour guides, who just give you these ridiculous rants that are full of stupid facts and ridiculous jokes. You're going, on your left, you can see the famous collapsed room. So-called because when it collapsed in 1942, it brought a whole new meaning to the phrase, I'm just going to drop in on somebody hurt. The oak tree on your right marks the spot where the Duke of Tipton was shot dead in a duel on April the 5th, 1791. According to local folklore, ever since then, on April the 5th, to get revenge on the village, the Duke's ghost can be heard walking through the streets of Tipton, siphoning the petrol out of everybody's car. Whereas under our system, if you went to look at a stately home, you wouldn't know what to expect.
Yes, it's wonderful, isn't it?
If you care to look out of the window, you will observe the North Tower, which looks lovely since we had it stone cladded. Oh, by Keith's brother. Oh, right. Moving to the interior, you will note the picture. Now, when we arrived, there was in fact a painting of a duke with a beagle, which was quite frankly horrible. So it's been replaced by a photo of Auntie Violet at the Scouts firework night with Henry Cooper's brother. Underneath, there is a settee dating from the 16th century, which we will shortly be replacing with a nice new one from World of Leather. Finally, we will be exiting over the moat, which we will shortly be filling with Japanese mizuki fish.
And on top of all this, building societies would go bankrupt. Because there'd be no point in buying a house if you have to move every year, because the process of buying it takes about a year. So by the time you've completed contracts, someone else would be living there. Within 25 years, every mortgage would be paid, and every mortgage broker, every director of a building society, and every estate agent would be bankrupt and homeless. Except if you were quick there, you'd have thought, well, no, they wouldn't, not under your scheme, because they'd be in the lottery. But we've thought of that, and they would, because they wouldn't be allowed to enter the draw. And so, with the Marksdale solution in place, what would a typical council estate be like?
It's 5 p.m. on the fourth floor of the Stockham Park estate, and the occupants of the Clark's old flat are settling in.
More cocoa, dear?
Oh, yeah, thanks, lad.
Hey, would you believe it?
They bring this drawer thing in and we pick our old flat again.
Yeah. I don't know who was here for the last year, but they must have had a bob or two. There's a new kitchen, hexagonal jacuzzi.
Yeah, mind you, the living room looks like a Mexican brothel.
Hello, I'm from the council. I don't suppose you want any electric fires fixing. I've just been on a course at the National Inspection Council for Electrical Insulation Contracting.
And people who used to live in villages would be like this.
Hello, Tom. Been anywhere today?
Oh, you name it, Tom. I've been there today. Except for diddling, and obviously...
Well, you don't want to go to diddling, then. It's only got one shot and not a decent gay pub in town.
I tell you what, Tom, fancy a dance?
Oh, I don't mind if I do.
Before long, everyone would be living in their ideal setting. My very own lighthouse. Perfect. Better get on with it then.
The Mark Steele Solution was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair, who also performed it with Maria McCurlin and Kim Wall. The producer was Phil Clark, who now lives at number 9 Begonia Close.